far as overall death rate and things like that. So it's not, you know, I mean, people die every year. But granted, having said that, obviously this has been an odd year with COVID and the shutdowns. I was talking in the young adults class upstairs, we were kind of talking about it, and I was mentioning that, you know, in my life, I've never seen public schools shut down over anything, and I'm thinking, well, it's because it never happened in my life. I mean, you never seen, I mean, maybe in a certain city or that sort of thing, but you never seen the public schools at large be shut down. You know, it's the first time in my life that people are afraid to go to church. And I'm not saying that that is wrong. I mean, maybe, you know, I think people should make their own choice and take their own responsibility. But I'm just stating the fact that you have some people that are afraid to come and gather because of what's going on in the world today. And I even have some trepidation heading into 2021. The case numbers have been going up. And of course, the first part of the year, tax season is big for me. And, you know, with the new president, you know, questions come to my mind. Are there going to be more shutdowns? And and this is selfish, but selfishly, I'm hoping for a more normal tax season. But you know, I don't know what things are going to be. Anyway, I had kind of those three things. I had Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, this time of war, time of peace, this cycles of time, good and bad. I had, you know, thoughts of, you know, kind of this whole COVID epidemic kind of, you know, and the Spanish flu kind of reminded me of that. And then I, you know, all these memes about how horrible this year is. And, of course, this week is Thanksgiving. And I just had a few thoughts to share this morning because I do think, and I'm gonna kind of spill it right here. I do think we have a lot to be thankful for, and we always have a lot to be thankful for. And I kind of want to reiterate this morning because this should be a week and a time that we reflect on those things, and that we have that attitude of Thanksgiving. And I guess along these lines, the first thing that comes to my mind along these lines is passages like Lamentations 22 and following, and Habakkuk, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and following, and Habakkuk chapter 3. So Lamentations chapter 3, Habakkuk chapter 3. And Lamentations is, you know, the only passage I think most people in our churches know from Lamentations, and I think there's good reasons for it, is Lamentations chapter 3. I mean, Lamentations is pretty much a big downer except for this passage. It's, you know, it's laments over the destruction, the death of the nation of Israel. Of course, it's not a final death. God's going to resurrect the nation, and they're going to return from captivity sometime later. But Jeremiah has witnessed the fall of Jerusalem, and he's mourning over the fall of Jerusalem and the horror that happened then. And in the midst of all of that, you get to chapter 3, and he says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And it's such a famous passage from Lamentations. I think we have about three different versions of songs that are from Lamentations chapter 3 in our songbook, talking about the steadfast love of the Lord. And he doesn't write that during a time of, and this I think is important, he does not write that during a time of peace and prosperity. He writes that during a time of darkness and doom. He writes that shortly after Jerusalem is ransacked and the people are carried off to captivity, after he has seen children dying in the streets of starvation during the siege, and he sees, you know, his hopes, he's been preaching to this nation for decades, and it hasn't worked, and the nation falls to the ground, and yet he says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." Our similar passage is Habakkuk chapter 3, and Habakkuk is an earlier prophet. Is one of the earliest prophecies that God is going to destroy Jerusalem. I mean, he's before Isaiah's time. God's, you know, Habakkuk's one of the first to receive this prophecy that God's going to use the Babylonians to bring destruction, maybe the first, but bring destruction upon Jerusalem. And you know, it's well before that actually happens, but the prophet recognizes, he sees, because God enabled him to see, he sees into the future, he knows what's going to happen, and he recognizes that the curses of the covenant are coming. And the curses of the covenant is a term that references Deuteronomy 28 and 29. The people of Israel, as they're entering the promised land, are told, if you do good and you live by, take the commandments of the Lord, God's going to be with you. He's going to bless you. Your fields are going to produce. You're going to have victory over your enemies. But if you disobey the Lord your God, then there's going to be famines. There's going to be hardships. And your enemies then are going to overtake you. And so he realizes from the prophecy that God has given them that the curses of the covenant are going to come upon the nation of Israel. And he references those by talking about produce. But then listen to what he says, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls. So he says, the curses, God has said the curses of the covenant are coming. Famine and hardship is coming. He says, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And he makes me tread upon the heights. And so the thing that was interesting to me in thinking about this is the great prophets of the Bible were able to see hope and blessing during the darkest of times. You have Jeremiah's steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You have Habakkuk's, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. And so I think it puts it into perspective. Even when things in the world don't seem to be going the way they ought to, and things seem weird and things seem odd and things seem out of whack, I think we learn from the prophets of the Old Testament to realize that even in the darkest of times, that there's things, that there's blessings, that the Lord hasn't given up on us, and that there's a lot of things to be grateful for. And one of those things is the fact that we do get to come, you know, and not come to the building so much, but we do have a God, a Lord that is behind us, who cares for us, that no matter what we may go through, he can be there by our side. And then I have to apologize for some of you who, many of you have heard this before, but it's Thanksgiving, and once a year at Thanksgiving, you got to put up with me quoting from William Penn's Fruits of Solitude. Sorry, it's just something you have to put up with. Number 34 in his Fruits of Solitude, he says, "We must needs disorder ourselves if we only look at our losses. But if we consider how little we deserve what is left, our passion will cool and our murmurs will turn into thankfulness." I was at Sonic a couple weeks ago. I don't remember if it was Isaiah or Rebecca that was with me. I think maybe it was Rebecca, but we were actually getting some drinks, The person there that came out with the order asked how things were going, and, you know, I don't know what I said, doing well or something like that. And then I asked him how he was doing, and he said, "I can't complain. It's a beautiful day." And it was. The sun was shining. It was beautiful temperature outside and things like that. And you know, I think it was Rebecca, because I think I talked to her a little bit about it. And I like that phrase, "I can't complain." And really, when we don't have a whole lot to complain about, we have things to be thankful for. When things aren't really going bad for us personally, you know, even when the sun comes up in the morning, we have something to be thankful for. And the neat thing about that is the sun comes up every morning, you know. Yesterday I got up by about 8 o'clock and I made a cup of coffee. I don't have coffee every morning, but I made a cup of coffee. I made a potato and egg breakfast taco and left some and, you know, left some. And I don't know for Rebecca or Samuel or whoever came after me, but, you know, and it's good morning, wake up, have food to eat, have a cup of coffee and things like that. And then me and Isaiah came up to the church, and I didn't know they were going to have food for the pounding, too. I guess I should read better. I guess I should look at the little insert or something. And so yeah, that's right. I actually had kind of two breakfasts yesterday, or a breakfast and a brunch. But I think most of the time, and some of that is living in the U.S., and, you know, we've lived in a prosperous nation, but I think most of the time we never think twice about the fact that we have food to eat and clothes to wear. You know, we just kind of take that for granted. I mean, we have it. I mean, we have, you know, in most cases, refrigerators full of food. We have pantries full of food. We have clothes to wear. Now, I do get, you know, I get a fair amount of my clothes from the little house over here. Candy finds good things sometimes when she's working over there and stuff, but they're good clothes. I mean, I don't care where they come from. And, you know, I mean, we could buy them if we had to, but we just have so much. We have houses that are climate controlled, and they actually call it climate control, but houses that are climate controlled. We have lights and TVs and ovens and microwaves and multiple bedrooms, in many cases, you know, a bedroom for each child. Our kids have actually always shared a room, but, you know, but like I said earlier, we have refrigerators and pantries full of food. At our house, we even have an extra little freezer to store extra food in. We have bathrooms and sinks with running water. And I think we just kind of living in this society, and you know, maybe it's different for those who have lived in times when they didn't have the indoor plumbing and things like that. But, you know, we kind of just take all of this that we have too often for granted. And that's not to say, obviously, our hearts can still break and bad things can still happen. But we do have a lot to be thankful for. And I know and I realize that the most important thing in this world is people. And that you can have a nice house that is climate controlled and a reliable automobile, but it doesn't mean much if your child is hurting or they're going through a divorce or if you lose a loved one. That there's things that cause worry or concern or heartache that having material things does not fix. And yet I remember when my brother died, or when I was going through a divorce, or when my mom died. And during all those periods, I still had contacts with friends and saw the kindness and the generosity of other people. That I think is even in the darkest times of our lives, if we look around, there are a lot of things to be thankful for. And I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say this morning. 2020 has been more than a little bit out of the ordinary, to say the least. And I don't know about you. I'm a little tired of hearing about the new normal. I'm ready to get back to the old normal. But that doesn't matter. This Thursday, when you gather together with friends and family, or if you're choosing to have a smaller Thanksgiving this year because of COVID and not gather with as much family as normal, whatever the case may be, count your blessings. Or think of the statement of Paul, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, if there is anything of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because we all still have things and lots of things to be thankful for. Don't forget that this week. Don't forget that this Thursday. And don't forget that ever. May God bless you all. I'm going to end early. If anyone needs to come this morning, we invite you to come. All together, we stand and we sing.